when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Pentecostal Church over here on the west side of Manchester. We want to greet every one of you in the precious name of the Lord and remind you that we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio station. We want to get into the teaching and ministering of God's Word today, and we are doing a series, and this is the first part of a two-part series that we will be starting this week on the days of deception. And we will continue to follow up with the second part of this series next week on Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And now we will go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light. God is on schedule. We don't know what the schedule is. No man knoweth the day. The Lord, I believe in Scripture, has given us some indications of what we're to look for. I want to share some thoughts out of Matthew chapter 24. Let's read right down through verses 1 to 14. 1 to 14. And what I want to do is cover quite a few different chapters. We're going to go to Matthew 24, then we're going to go to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 3. We're going to be going down into, let's see here, 1 Timothy 4. We'll go to 2 Peter chapter 2. We'll go a little bit into the book of Jude. We got Romans. We've got a lot of scripture to cover. Is that all right? And most of these are speaking about the end times and the last days. Somebody said we're living in the last hour of the last days, and I would have to say we're pretty close. But they said that 30, 40, 50 years ago. We're close. He's coming soon. But what makes it different for our day? Well, there are some key signs I believe we can see. In Matthew chapter 24, let's read down through verses 1 through 14. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not that all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, for many years, I always thought that meant that men were going to literally come and say, I'm Jesus Christ, which some lunatics have claimed that. But I believe that that also could be looked at in a way that I represent Christ. I come sharing the gospel of Christ. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you what? Be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. I want you to see the two different parallels here, nation against nation. I've said it before, and And I'll say it again, I believe that is talking about the human races, the different nationalities. A nation is not necessarily borders, though we can use that same word to define a country, that we are entering into the nation of Mexico, the nation of Canada, the nation of the United States, so on and so forth. But also it could give us a meaning of people. You got different nationalities. Nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom, powers upon the earth. Kingdom is speaking of those that rule in positions of authority. When you think of the great nations of the world, we think of the United States of America. We think of China. You think of Russia, predominantly the three most powerful nations in the world. There's many others that we can name, but as we look at this, he's speaking about what it is going to look like and what we are going to be seeing happening before his coming. Nation arising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what? Famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's saying for those that take on the name of Christ and are really representing Christ, they're going to kill you. You are going to be hated by the world. Jesus said, if they've hated me, they're going to hate you. And many, verse 11, false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man, what? Deceive you. You have a responsibility to know who you're listening to, who's preaching to you, who you're receiving, teaching, and preaching of God's word. It is important for us to have discernment in these last days. Discernment is something that is lacking in the lives of many believers. For many, we'll hear a preacher preaching, and just because it sounds good and appeals to what they like to hear, it doesn't matter if it's false doctrine or lies. We are living in the days of deception. Amen? Days of deception. And that's what a lot of this lesson is going to be surrounded with scriptures around, is deceptive times that we are living in. For many, verse 5, shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall do what? Deceive many. One more time, he says it. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall do what? We're living in the end times. I would ask you, where are these false prophets? The Lord said, many will arise. Many will come to the forefront. Many are going to be in positions to where they can deceive large multitudes of people. Now, I'm going to lay a foundation and do a little teaching here, and may do a little preaching, but what I do want to do is put something in your spirit to make you alert that we are definitely living in the last hours. And I believe personally, we are living in the last hours of the final generation before the coming of the Lord. We are the last generation, I believe, that shall see the coming of the Lord. Everything is coming to a climax, my brothers and sisters. And all prophecy and fulfillment of the scriptures is coming to pass. I'm not going to get a debate with the folks that are pre-trib and mid-trib and post-trib. All I want to do is to be used as a pastor to be able to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. He said, watch and pray that you shall be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall be coming upon the face of the earth. God is coming for a prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Can you say amen? We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. Jesus was asked by the apostles, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Verse 4 says the first thing he told them was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." He went on to talk about how many deceivers will come and deceive many. So we are living in days of deception. If you would agree with me tonight, we are living in the last days. Can you say amen? He gives very specific things that would be happening before his coming. He didn't just spit things out. He said there shall be wars. There shall be rumors of wars that will be taking place. There'll be earthquakes and famines. There'll be pestilence. There'll be nation rising up against nation. And men's going to be on the level of deception like we've never seen it. There'll be a deception upon the hearts of people, and they won't be able to understand. Listen, the Bible says, brothers and sisters, we are living in the times where there'll be a spirit of deception. And if it were possible that even the very elect would be deceived, I want to ask you tonight, how do you know if a man is a deceiver? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it talks about evil men and seducers that shall wax worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also. This is something that we must know. We need to study. We need to educate ourselves and understand the days that we are living. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their what? Own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. He's talking about the condition of the world and the people just before his coming. He said, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers. They'll be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers and false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness. This is the description of a people that are portraying a religious spirit. The most destructive thing to the church today is not the world. It is not the sin that's in the world. Listen to me now. Though it is wreaking havoc in the lives of many, the most detrimental, damaging weapon that the enemy is using upon the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us that confess to really profess to have, amen, a real experience with God and being born again, knowing that we're new creatures in Christ, where old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. How many of us know when we get saved, we should be new people in Christ? Can you say amen? But we have a generation of Christians, so-called professing Christians, those that have not truly been born again. Bible paints it clearly. Jesus said there'll be wheat and tares. There'll be sheep and goats. Amen. How many of us know it's black or white with Jesus? You're either for him or you're against him. There ain't no carnal Christians. There ain't no Christians that got one foot in the world and one foot in church trying to serve Jesus. He said, if you're going to serve me, you can't serve two masters. You cannot serve, amen, the God of this world and try to serve me, because I am a jealous God and I will have you serving no other gods before me. He's talking about a people that have a form of godliness. Now, would you say if he's given the descriptions in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, and then he goes on to say, these people that are living this way are religious people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away from these kind of people. These are dangerous people. How can light fellowship with darkness? Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where we are going to see a separation between the true possessing church, those that have the real, true, genuine, manifest power, the gospel flowing through their life. And I say that manifest power because we are called to let our light so shine. We are to let Jesus shine through me. How many of us know that's what they need to see? They don't need to see you and me. They need to see the Christ within us. But we have a generation of Christians that is a detriment to the true church. Amen. It is the self-professing believers that act like they're saved, but they're living ungodly. They're living rebellious. They're not dedicated. They're not committed to a holy, sanctified life that where they need to be separated and coming out from the world. They don't want to hear about any obligations or true lifestyle of living. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to have a holy people. Can you say amen? So we need to bear the image and the likeness of Christ here in this world. But there's many professing Christians that have a form of godliness. It looks like they're believers. It looks like they're Christians. My God, help us to understand we're living in the last days, the last of the last days. And many shall rise, Christ said, and shall deceive many self-professing Christians that are going to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but they live ungodly. They live worldly. They truly have not had the experience of knowing what it is to really be a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things will be passed away, and behold, all things will become new. This is the reality of the power of God that transformed the body, the mind, and the spirit, where you can profess to this world, I've been born again, I've been washed in the blood, and I'm a new creature in Christ. The things that I used to do, I don't do anymore. But brothers and sisters, we've got a generation of Christians that all they do is got a profession, but they don't have anything they're possessing. I'm telling you, we need to see a church in this last day that possesses the real, that has something that's genuine, that's not just a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to live a holy life in this world. There's many preachers today that put little focus on the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer. We can't live holy without Christ. We can't live holy without the Holy Ghost. How are people going to live holy without the Holy Ghost? Amen. They stress very little on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm amazed at how many Pentecostal churches across the nation put so little emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, when we are Christians, we are going to need a greater power from above to be able to resist temptation, to be able to resist the evil, to be able to resist the devil when he comes to us. We need a greater power from above to live holy and acceptable unto God in this world. We need the power of God to live a life that's well-pleasing to Him. But we live in a generation of people that love the pleasure of this world more than they love God. But can I tell you, God is looking for a people that understand they are living in deceptive hour, in a day where they're seducing spirits that are alluring the masses of people. Bible says there will be a great falling away, an apostasy, which simply means they're going to turn away from the true original doctrines of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be turned to other gospels. Paul warned the Galatians. He says, who has come and led you and preached to you another gospel? But we know there's only one gospel for all the nations of the world. But there's some that would come to do what? Pervert the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's perverting this gospel? Preachers. Teachers. Ministers. And brothers and sisters, that wherein lies the real sobering reality of the day and the hour that we're living. Seducers and deceivers are all around us. They're on our television waves. They're on the internet. They're in books. They're on CDs. They're on the radio on a daily basis. Brothers and sisters, these are ones that look to draw through the lust of the flesh. They look to use an enticing spirit to deceive and allure you away from the true and the living way. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We live in a time period where those that are deceiving are deceived themselves. So they've come under the influence of a deceptive spirit. And that deceptive spirit leads men that are put in positions of authority. I'm talking preachers, pastors, evangelists. God forbid if that I or any other preacher that would preach any other gospel than the true and the real gospel of Jesus Christ. But there are other gospels that are being promoted today in our nation and around the world. And these men are deceived, and they're being deceived, and they themselves are under the influence of a seducing spirit that has deceptive hold and influence on them, where they're deceiving the masses of people behind the pulpits in churches every Sunday of the week in our nation and around the world. But God help us to be a people that we would be sober, we would be vigilant, we would be a people that are well studied. Like the Bereans, we would search the scriptures to see if that which is being preached to us is true. We better get a spirit of discernment to know that which is of God and that which is not of God. Brothers and sisters, you need to judge every word that I'm saying. You need to judge everything that's being taught to you. These men are under an influence of a wicked spirit because our nation has turned from the true and the living God. Now we see a nation without God that is turning into a living hell. You tell me that demons aren't being unleashed from the pits of hell like we've never seen them before. We are living in the days of deception where seducing spirits are creeping into the church unaware. Most of the people don't even know. They're not even aware of it. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Oh, God one time shed his grace on the United States of America. But brothers and sisters, I would have to say today that the righteous people of God in this nation is a very small remnant of us. But oh, I still believe there's a remnant scattered throughout the nation of America that's still standing for the truth, that's still standing for righteousness, that's still standing for a holy God, and they want to be a holy people. Not that they're holy, but the God that lives inside of them is holy. That's what he's looking for from us, is he's looking from us to be a people that's willing to stand for righteousness and truth, even when it's out of season and it's not popular. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Has our nation forgotten God? The forecast for America is hell is on the horizon. Bible says when you sow to the flesh, you shall reap the corruption. Brothers and sisters, we've been sowing to the flesh for a long time. I wish we could get a man in a position of authority. Oh, and just think of it. And somebody would say, well, that would never happen. But I would love to see a man that would get in the White House and call for a day of national repentance and prayer where we could fast and pray and get on the steps of the Capitol, the steps of our courthouses, the steps of our churches, and cry out to God and repent of all of our sin, because it is righteousness that exalts a nation. But it
it is sin that is a reproach to any people. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We have been a nation that once stood for the truth, but now, brothers and sisters, we're a nation of tolerance. Oh, we're a nation that would just tolerate it. Oh, listen, God never called for tolerance. He called for repentance. Problem is, brothers and sisters, we've got hirelings today that care not for the sheep. Therefore, they do not care where your eternal soul will go. How many of us know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? We are all going to stand before the judgment one day and give an account. We live in a nation that once stood for righteousness, and I still believe there is a remnant that is standing for righteousness and truth. I wish there would be some of our senators and congressmen that would really, listen, all it had to do was just take one man with some influence, amen, and I believe he could begin, amen, to call upon a national day of repentance, and I believe God would hear the prayer of repentance. God's willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have forgotten God. We've turned away from God, and we love the deceiver. We love the men that preach about things that are ungodly and pleasurable. Listen, brothers and sisters, we've got a generation of preachers that are doing nothing for the souls of people but sending them to a devil's hell. Seducers and deceivers are going to make people get worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. The Spirit of God has warned us through His Word what will be happening on the earth through the deceptive men being deceived by deceiving spirits. How many people would be turned away from the true and the right, the original doctrine of truth? As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis, and we want to invite any of you that would like to come out and visit us. We're at 417 Granite Street in Manchester, New Hampshire, on the west side. We're a multicultural church preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we would like to invite you to come out and visit us. We start our Sunday services at 11 o'clock, and we also have our Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. And you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com, find out all the information in regards to our ministry here in Manchester, and also our missions work and our different outreaches. I want to remind you, we will continue this series next week here on this radio station. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, this is Pastor N.R. Davis, and may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.